journey in life, there's certain things that we drag along with us. It's our baggage. Some of that stuff is pretty darn heavy. Some of that is you know, we drag it along and it prevents us from going forward. This man that I'm speaking of, and please don't come up and ask me any more questions than what I've told you about him afterwards, please. But this man that I'm speaking of, his baggage was heavy. You know, all of us are on a journey, and as we go throughout the journey of life, there's certain things we carry along with us. Some of it's good. Some of it's really positive. Some of it, you know, it makes us light. Other things tend to weigh us down really heavy. And we just can't seem to shake it. And it has repercussions for our lives. And as much as we do, we try and throw it off, but we just, it's still there. It's still there. Every day we wake up and it's there with us. We wish it wasn't, but we don't know what to do with it. You know, there's many people that Jesus ran into that had some pretty heavy baggage. Some things that he had and was a part of their lives. And this morning I just simply want us to look at a few examples of men and women that Jesus ran into. They were carrying heavy baggage, and the response that he had to them and the response they had to him. And maybe some of those things we can identify with. Maybe we have people in our lives that we say, you know what? I want to help them understand that there's hope and an opportunity to be released from the baggage that is theirs. And that's the key thing I want us to walk away from this morning, is there's hope. There's hope. Things that we carry with us. There's hope. I want to begin this morning by looking at one of the individuals that Jesus and this encounter and how Jesus dealt with the baggage. And it's this woman had a sense of, I'm a failure. I'm too bad. It's found in John chapter 8, and I'm going to be skipping around to a few passages this morning, but in John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11, we're introduced to this woman and this interaction with Jesus. And during the life of Jesus, there was many who resisted him. Many who wanted to get him. Many wanted to trip him up. And one of the groups of people that wanted to resist Jesus and wanted to trip him up was the religious leaders of the time. Because Jesus came with a message and said, it's not good enough just to do, but we need to be. And the religious leaders had this list of, you got to do this, and then you'll be approved by God. And Jesus says, no. Who you are, out of that flows what you do. And so the religious leaders, trying to trap Jesus, they drag this woman before Jesus. And this woman was caught, according to John chapter 8, was caught in the act of adultery. And it says, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him so that he might have grounds for accusing him. Now you need to understand, under Roman law, the Jews weren't allowed to stone people. But under the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, somebody caught in adultery was to be killed. So there was this, let's get him. Either he's going to obey the law of Moses, the Jews, or he's going to obey the law of the land. What's he going to do? And we need to understand this woman. Just imagine how she felt. She's caught in the act of adultery. We don't know the condition she was in. We don't know if they beat her before they brought her there. We don't know if she was half clothed. We don't know the exact circumstance, but she's dragged into the temple court where Jesus was, and she's thrown at his feet and said, "This woman," imagine how she felt. Humiliated, embarrassed, hiding her face. Imagine how she felt. "I'm such a failure." Imagine the fear that she must have felt laying at the feet of Jesus with all these men seething, angry, standing around. We don't know what happened to the man that was involved in the adultery. We're not told there. But this was a trap. This woman is laying here feeling like, "I am such a failure." Don't raise your hand, but you ever felt that way? "I'm so bad. People really knew." You know, this woman, she's there. And she's carrying around this guilt, this brokenness inside. Feeling unworthy to even be loved. And then Jesus does something very interesting. And this is one of those questions for Jesus in heaven. It says, Jesus stopped, stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground. And there's a lot of speculation. What did Jesus write on the ground? We don't know. Maybe it was, he started writing the names and the sins of each of the men that were standing in the circle. I don't know. Maybe he was writing a judgment that from the Old Testament against the religious leaders. Maybe he wrote the law that this woman ought to be stoned under. We have no idea. But Jesus wrote there, and it kind of struck them for some reason. Jesus made this statement, and it shows his heart here. "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." When they heard it, they began to go out one by one. Beginning with the older ones, he was left alone with the woman, where she was in the center of the court. "Straighten up," Jesus said to her. "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from here and sin no more." This woman, the baggage of guilt, feeling like a failure, the baggage of "I'm not good enough," Jesus says, "Let go of that. Receive my grace, receive my forgiveness, receive my mercy. Let go. You don't need to hang on to that any longer." The second person I want to look at this morning is one of the 12. One of the 12. And we find this account in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. And we see this baggage that he has is, "I doubt." Any idea who I'm talking about? Thomas. "I doubt. I do not believe." Have you ever been going through something and you say, "God, I don't see you in it"? Have you ever been walking through a situation and you go, "Where's God?" Well, we find Thomas here, and he's struggling. He's struggling. And I feel sorry for Thomas. Because you see, the rest of the disciples had seen Jesus with their own eyes. And they come back to Thomas and they say, "We saw Jesus and he was alive." And what's Thomas do? "I doubt it." Right? Right? Isn't that what he does? He says in John 20, verse 25, "So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord,' but he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the imprint of his nails, and put my finger into the place of his nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" The interesting thing is, it's not like the next day suddenly Jesus appears. We're told that it's 8 days later. Thomas is left in this place of questioning, of doubting, of unbelief, essentially for 8 days. For 8 days. You ever struggled and wrestled with God? You think, "Oh, come on, God." And you wrestle with him, and you wrestle with him, and you wrestle with him. And Thomas here, the other disciples are talking, they're excited, they've seen Jesus, and Thomas is off to the side in the corner going, "There's no way. There's no way. It can't be true. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense." Then Jesus appears to Thomas, and he says, "Reach here with your finger and you see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas has seen with his own eyes Jesus perform incredible things. But yet he doesn't believe. Are you that person? Am I that person? Sees God do incredible things, and then just a little while later you're saying, we quickly forget. Thomas had followed Jesus, seen feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the lepers, all those things. He had seen all those things. He believed those things because he had seen them. This morning, are you struggling with doubt? Doubt that God is good. Doubt that God is all-powerful. Doubt that God can overcome COVID. Sorry, I used the C word. I'm sorry. Doubts! You see, Thomas was confronted with the truth. And when you and I are confronted with the truth, we've got a choice to make. We need to either surrender or doubt. This morning you're confronted with the truth of who God is. What's your choice? Doesn't mean we understand. I don't. It's hard to understand. I don't always agree with God's decisions, did you know? Do you? Do you ever feel like, "God, you got that one wrong"? Let me tell you how it should be. You ever say to God, "You messed up on that one"? Yes. You certainly feel it. The third person is, "I will not participate, but I will stand by and watch." That's the baggage. "I will not participate, but I'll stand by and watch." We're introduced to this person as Jesus is brought in Matthew 27. Jesus is brought before Pilate in the praetorium. He is mocked by the chief priests and the Jews. He is struck on the head with a staff. He is spit on. He falls on they fall on their knees and mock him and worship him. They put a crown of thorns on him. And then they give him the cross. Most likely it's the cross beam. We believe it's the cross. I believe it was most likely the cross beam that probably was not kind of like, it was more like a railroad tie. And he's given that cross beam, and it's, history tells us it was probably the Via Dolorosa that he walked down. It's known as the way of the cross or the way of sorrows. That's what it's called. And it's fairly narrow, and there's rock walls on either side. It would have been crammed with people there for Passover. And here's this man, three of them, in fact, Jesus as well as the two others, they would have been doing the same thing, going down this narrow path, carrying the cross, okay? Now remember what I just said, Jesus had been mocked, he'd been beaten, the crown of thorns, he had been whipped, all these kind of things. Isaiah 53 says he was even beyond recognition. That's how bad it was. The Passover, or the Passion, there we go. If you've ever seen that and you get that picture, oh, it's horrible. But here's Jesus. And he falls to the ground absolutely exhausted. Can't go on. Can't go on. And there's this man we're introduced to just very briefly in the scriptures, Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was a city in northern Africa, a large city in northern Africa, it's believed he came from. And he's standing, watching. Maybe it was the first time coming for Passover, maybe he was just visiting the city, we don't know. But there he is, and he's watching this spectacle taking place. This man, the crowds are loud, and they're hollering, they're hitting, they're throwing things, you know, and he's just there watching. He's watching. Soldiers, Roman soldiers during that time can conscript anybody for a citizen for temporary service. So at random, the Roman soldier, seeing Jesus exhausted, unable to carry the cross or the crossbeam, whichever it was, we're not told exactly, but seeing this, he grabs him, Simon of Cyrene, and says, "You carry it." See, for Simon of Cyrene, he was much happier being out of the limelight. I don't really want to participate, I just want to watch. I really don't want to be a part of this. And he resisted it because of a number of different reasons, probably. One is it was an unclean task. If he was there to worship at all, it was an unclean task. Can you imagine the blood and everything that was on that cross? He's got his good duds on. And he picks up that cross, and it's filled with blood. He's going to get blood on himself. It's going to make him unclean. He doesn't want to do it because it's a difficult task. Some believe that the crossbeam itself, and I don't know which, but I've read that it's between 200 and 300 pounds. It wasn't something that was kind of like this 2x4. So it was a difficult task to grab that cross. It was an embarrassing task. Only criminals carried their crosses. Only criminals. Because you knew they were going to die. When somebody was seen going down the Via Dolorosa carrying a cross, it was a death sentence. It was an inconvenient task. He was supposed to be there for a memorable time, Passover, maybe with his family, participating. Just wasn't inconvenient. Now look at, I'm filthy, now I'm part of this throng of people, and he carried it all the way, I believe, to where Jesus was crucified. It wasn't just a short little while. It would have been a disgusting, humiliating thing to do. It would have been easier to watch than participate. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, "If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This is to us. "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." See, we're called to take up our cross, and when a criminal was carrying his cross, it meant death. When we're called to take up our cross, it means death to self. But it's easier for us to say, "No, I'm just going to, you know, I respect the cross. I respect this church stuff. I respect the Bible and all that's going on. It's all good, but I'll stand back and watch. You know, maybe someday I'll take a step forward and into it, but it's easier just to, nice church, nice people, nice place to come, nice songs, great songs. We're called to participate. This morning, you can pray for that young man, you pray for young man X. That's all I'm going to say. He's carrying a heavy burden. The burden of the woman was a burden of guilt, a burden that said, I'm not worthy, a burden that said, I'm too bad, I'm too ugly. The burden of Thomas was a burden of, I'm not sure I really believe. I doubt. Some of it, yeah, nah, I'm not so sure. The burden of Simon of Cyrene was, I'm not so sure I want to be all in. I'll go part way. But I'm not so sure. See, you and I have a lot that we carry around as, you know, sometimes in our baggage is our education, and we kind of say that's more important than, and sometimes it's our family, sometimes it's our sports, sometimes it's our work, sometimes it's our money, sometimes it's our choices. See, there's a lot that we carry around with us. A lot we carry around with us. And the interesting thing is, when it comes down to it, how are you interacting with Jesus? You know, when it comes down to it, either you pick up the cross and drop everything else, or you continue to carry your baggage. Your choice. And let me say, I'm oversimplifying in some ways. Honestly, I am this morning. I'm not saying it's kind of like, oh, there it is. It's a battle. You want to load that suitcase back up, you know? This is comfortable in some ways. But really, we need to come, and we need to come to the foot of the cross and go, no more. I'm done. I'm done. For that young man and the guys that I have the privilege of working with, and, it's true for all of us. It's not even them, but we all have baggage. Question becomes, what are we going to do with that baggage? As we meet Jesus face to face, as the three individuals did that I talked about this morning, first woman, grace and mercy, met her baggage. The second individual, there was a sense of the goodness of God, even though it was not deserved. There was patience for Thomas. The third individual, Simon of Cyrene, there was a call. Come. Come. It's okay. Come. Come. My challenge to us this morning, it's time to empty our suitcases and pick up our cross, surrender to Him fully. Say, God, I am yours and yours alone. All I've got for the men that I work with, all I've got for you this morning is saying Jesus. The Sunday school answer, right? Kids are learning about it right now. Jesus. I don't have anything else. Nothing. No words of wisdom, no anything. Jesus. That's what we need. Let's pray. Lord, none of us are sitting here kind of smug, I hope, and feeling like, oh, I don't have any baggage. I'm all good. Lord, I know the baggage, even as I prepared this message, God, that you called me to begin to think about. And what am I carrying that I need to just come to the foot of the cross, empty it out, and say, God, I'm meeting with you here on this spot. Lord, I need your mercy. I need your patience, as you did with Thomas. I need, God, to take up my cross, to get involved, to participate, Lord, to seek after you wholeheartedly. God, I thank you that your love and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness and your hope is there for us all, even when we may feel like we don't deserve it. Lord, I love you. And I thank you that you are my God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.